Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we begin our new study of the topic, Lies in the Textbook. A few months ago, I was doing my live Saturday radio program, and I was shocked to meet with this caller who was a college student. And we were talking at this night about the Crusades. And he was literally so excited with the knowledge he had received from his professor to teach us some truths about how terrible was the Crusades and how these Christians invaded the Muslim land and how they killed innocent women and innocent children, forcing these Muslim people to leave their homeland as they barbarically killed hundreds of thousands of Muslims. I was shocked first. Where in the world this young man come up with this knowledge? But as I continue to interview him in my radio program, I discovered that that is what he was taught in college, as his professor taught him the history of the Crusades. And it did not hit me to understand the effect of our education by our teachers on our children until later when I was in Florida. For I was asked to go and speak to the school board in Tampa area as an expert on Islam. And there we met with this non-profit organization, which is known by the name Citizen for National Security. I was shocked to know the amount of lies which are taught in our textbooks to our children in the state of Florida. As a matter of fact, it did not just stop in Florida. It is all over the 50 states of the United States of America. And I was shocked to know that these books were controlled by the Muslims. As Muslims infiltrate the mind and the heart of our children, starting with kindergarten all the way to the 12th grades. And now all connect together in my head. This young man, whom I have in my radio program on Saturday Night Live, was a product of years of brainwashing, of years of infiltration by Muslims through the public school system of the United States of America. They begin, when they are little children, to be taught lies about Islam, history, geography, and science. We're no longer in the United States of America teaching the truth to our children in school, but we teach propaganda and baloney spread by Muslims and atheists in the textbooks. And I wonder why our teachers surrender to such propaganda. Why are we allowing our children to be infiltrated with all these lies from the little age of kindergarten all the way to the high school, even in college? And I wonder what will be the future generations of America. Maybe the next senators and the next congressman and congresswoman who will come out of the college will be standing for the Muslim, speaking for Muslim and Islam against Israel and against America. Because we only harvest what we plant. And we have been planting lies and deception and propaganda in the heart and in the mind of our own children in our public schools all over this country. That's why I decided to research this topic, lies in the textbooks, and bring it to you that you may know what your children and what your grandchildren are learning right now in our public schools and the infiltration of Muslims to our children. They are so smart. They know what they're doing. That is their goal, that is their dream, to change America from within, to literally brainwash our children to believe in lies concerning Islam, concerning Israel, and concerning Christianity. And that is what we will be studying here in the following broadcasts. We will look first to the situation in Israel. as I believe this is the most important topic, not only for the Middle East, but for us here in America. And because of the sensitivity of it, and because sadly I say most Americans have no clue what I am about to present, Israel and Palestine. We're going to be talking about history. We're going to be talking about geography. We will be talking about the teaching of the Quran. And we will be talking about the teaching of the Bible concerning Israel and the Promised Land, which is known in the Quran, the Holy Land of Israel. It's amazing. A couple of years ago, I was in the state of Washington. At the church where I was speaking, I met with a lady who is an ex-mother-in-law to a Muslim man who was from Palestine. This woman asked me if I would meet with him to share with him about Islam and about Christian faith. In the following day, I went to his work. In my way to meet with this gentleman, the other brother from the church who took me to his business, he warned me that this man hates Israel, for he is a Palestinian. We met at the business and we talked for a few minutes, and there we set a time to meet again at a coffee place. Where when I met with him at the coffee place, I asked him, "Are you a Muslim?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe in the Quran?" He said, "Yes." "Do you believe that the Quran is the true word of Allah?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why do you hate Israel?" He said, "Because Israel occupied my homeland. Israel are killing my own people. Israel is a terrorist country." There I opened the Quran and I read to my Palestinian friend the verse which comes from Quran chapter 45 and verse 16, when Allah said, "And indeed, we gave the book and the wisdom and the prophethood to the children of Israel, and we provided them with the good things, and we favored them above the world." Did you hear what Allah said in the Quran? Allah said He favored the Jews. He favored the children of Israel above the world. They are God's chosen people. They are God's favorite people. And I asked my Palestinian friend, "When did Israel occupy your land and your people's land?" And he said, "Well, since 1948. Then I asked my Palestinian friends the question, "When did the children of Israel enter this land, which is known in the Quran, the Holy Land, and in the Bible, the Promised Land?" He did not have an answer. I told him, "Did you know that Allah in the Quran gave this land to Moses and his people?" He said, "Yes." And he then started to stutter, not knowing what to say next. And then I told him, "This land belonged to the children of Israel, as Allah, your God, in the Quran, gave them this land not 1,000 years ago, not 2,000 years ago, not even 3,000 years ago, but almost 4,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, this is the only country which has two deeds from two great books. The book of the Quran, which considered by you Muslim the most holy book, and the book of the Bible, which Jews and Christians believed to be the only holy book. There are two deeds to assure the world that this land, the land of Israel, belongs to the Jews. And there I opened the Quran and I read for my friend the teaching of Allah in the Quran concerning the Promised Land. There we read Quran chapter 5, beginning from verse 20, when Allah said, "And when Moses said to his people, 'O my people, remember the grace of Allah on you, when he made prophets among you, and he made you kings, and he gave you what he did not give anyone of the world. O my people,'" verse 21, "enter the holy land which Allah has prescribed for you, and do not turn away on your back, so you will be turned back losers." Verse 22, "They said, 'O Moses, surely in it are powerful people, and surely we will not enter it until they come out of it.' So if they come out of it, so surely we will enter it. In verse 23, two men among the fearers, Allah graced on them, said, enter on them the door. So when you enter, so surely you will be the victorious. And on Allah, so depend if you were believers. Verse 24, they said, O Moses, surely we will never enter it as long as they are in it. So go, you and your Lord, so engage in war. Surely we are sitting down right here. Verse 25, he said, my Lord, surely I do not own anything except myself and my brother. So separate between us and the transgressing people. Verse 26, he said, so surely it is forbidden for them 40 years. They will be lost on the earth. So do not grieve on the transgressing people.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugarcoated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
There are so many errors in these verses. Quran chapter 5, verses 20 to 26. It will take a whole hour program just to cover all the error in these six verses. But the simple message we learn from these verses, that this holy land, as Allah stated in verse 21, was given to the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses, their prophet. And because they did not believe that they can take this land, Allah, the God of Muhammad, forbid them from entering the land for 40 years. But then they took the Holy Land. When did this happen? I asked my Palestinian friend. He said, well, in Moses' days. There I remind once again my Palestinian friend that Moses lived 3,500 years ago. And this was obviously a much longer time than the 1948 when the Jewish nation came back to their own land, established their own state once again. So when was the beginning of Israel? It was not 1948, but actually 40 years later after Moses and the Jewish people left my home country, Egypt, after 400 years of slavery. But before we even leave this passage, I would like just to point to a few of the error of this passage. Remember what Moses said in the Quran in verse 20. He was speaking there to his own Jewish people and he said, O my people, remember the grace of Allah on you when he made prophets among you. What prophets? How many prophets was there? I mean, I know Muslims believe in Moses to be a prophet, but what other prophets before Moses or during the life of Moses? There's no answer. And then he said, and he made you kings. Kings? In Moses' day? Can any Muslim give us a name of one of these kings? Because the obvious truth is, there were no kings in Ezra and Moses' day, but there is only one king, which is their own God, Yahweh, Elohim. He was the ruler over them. As a matter of fact, as we look in the scripture, we will see that after Moses, there was Joshua. After Joshua, there was a succession of judges, one judge after another judge, with many years between them. And then, during Prophet Samuel, the Jewish people went to Prophet Samuel, who was a judge over them in his old age, asking him to appoint a king over them. And this was hundreds of years after Moses. And the first king we learn about in the Bible was King Saul, and then King David, and King Solomon, and so on and so on. But there was no king before Moses, or during Moses' days, or even after Moses died, for hundreds of years later. One of Muhammad's style of writing throughout the Quran is the way Allah gives information without any details. So Muhammad, literally throughout the Quran, never mentions names. He always said, one of them tells the other, or the one on the right told the one in the middle, or the one on the left told the one on the right. Listen to what Allah said in the Quran. Two men among the fearers. If you ask Muslim, who are these two men? They have no answer. But the answer obviously can be found in the Bible. As we read in the book of Numbers chapter 13, not only do we know the name of these two men, but the name of the 12 men whom Moses sent to spy on the land of Canaan. And these two men's names are Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh. As we share the details of the story of the Bible, when we compare to the nonsense of the verses of the Quran, the ambiguous message, the ambiguous revelation of Muhammad in the Quran, there we see not only the accuracy of the Bible, but also we see the truth of the message of the Bible. My Palestinian friend was surprised and was in awe to know some facts about all the lies which he grew up to believe, that the Israelites occupied his land and the Israelites are his enemy. For as a matter of fact, as we continue to read in the Quran, we see all the early passages which Muhammad put in the Quran concerning the Jews, concerning the Holy Land, is a great evidence that they are not occupying their own land, the land of Israel, but they have the God-given right to this land, with all the right to own, to live, to do whatever they wish in their land. And this fact is not only written in the passage in the Bible, but as it is written in the passage of the Quran. That is what Allah said in the Quran concerning the Jewish nation. They are His chosen people. They are the promised one to receive the promised land, the Holy Land. As we read in Quran chapter 5, verses 20 to verse 26, we know for sure that the land of Israel belongs to the children of Israel. And this took place 3,500 years ago. But when we look at the Bible and the true account of the history, which must be taught in our textbook instead of the lies which Muslims implanted throughout the pages of the history and social study and geography books for our children, we know, as we will see in the next broadcast, that this land was promised to Abraham before even the existence of Moses and the children of Israel. And this was 400 years even earlier than Moses' days. That makes the true owner of this land to be Abraham. As God Almighty, the owner of planet Earth, gave this land to him and to his descendant before even his descendant came to exist. Not only 3,500 years ago in Moses' days, but even earlier than that, which put it roughly around 4,000 years ago. Someone may say, maybe when Allah said in the Quran that He will give this land to Abraham and his children, Allah meant all the children of Abraham. Therefore, the Jews, the children of Israel, can have part of the land, and the Arab, the children of Abraham, through his wife Keturah, or as Muslim claims, through his concubine Hagar, they also, the Muslim, have the right to receive part of this land. The answer is very simple. If you read the Quran, chapter 5, verse 20 to verse 26, Allah is very clear. Allah asked Moses and his people, the children of Israel, to take the promised land. He did not say the children of Abraham, but the children of Israel. And Israel is Jacob. And the children of Jacob are those who were in Egypt for 400 years. And after they left the land of Egypt, they took the promised land. Even though in the beginning, according to the teaching of the Quran, as well as we will see in the next broadcast, according to the teaching of the Bible, they did not believe that they can take the promised land. That's why God, for 40 years, caused them to wander in the wilderness out of the promised land. And after the older generation, those who were 20 years and older, after all of them died, then God accomplished his promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob through the descendant of the children of Israel, those who were 20 years and younger in Moses' days. Add to that, obviously, Joshua and Caleb, for they are the only two of the older generation who believed that they could take the promised land. That's when Moses sent them with the rest of the spies to check out the promised land. And that is what we will be covering in the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.